but I fear for you, lass. One day you will learn what he's done. One day it will grieve you.
If only I could see him.
As I said, no one in the lore can find him.
Maybe if you helped me past the wall, he would make contact with me.
Will cupped her nape.
You vowed 7 days with me, Chloe. Could you leave me behind so easily? Even after today?
I'm not going to lie to you. I feel some kind of connection to you that's different from any I've ever felt with another. It's staggering to me.
She squeezed her temples, clearly bewildered.
For weeks, I've been so confused and lonely, and something about you feels right.
Turning watering eyes up to him, she clutched his free hand and squeezed it hard.
You're the only thing in my life that makes sense right now.
You're the only thing that makes sense to me. You're going to bring me peace, he thought.
Finally, after so long of feeling nothing but guilt and self-hatred.
This is really intense.
Her gaze darted.
I just feel like I should watch myself.
She looked utterly spooked. As Monroe had said, this was moving fast, even by matehood standards. She must be overwhelmed.
We'll figure this out in the morning. I'm going to help you however you need me to. All will be well. For now, lie with me.
If any part of his body below his waist touched any part of hers, he'd lose control. So he lay beside her on the outside of the cover. But then she looked hungrily at his arms, like she wanted to be within them. He chucked off his shirt and reached for her. Cradling her head to him, he reclined back. She laid her palm over the center of his chest, then stiffened and drew it away. Oh, aye, she knew what had happened to him. Did she think he was still injured? Or that he wouldn't want her to touch him there? He bloody craved her touch there. She leaned her head down to his chest. He felt her fluttery breaths. He didn't breathe at all. She pressed a single soft kiss over his heart, having no idea he'd just given it to her. 21. Chloe was adrift in that stage between wakefulness and sleep when a scent tickled her nose.
What is that smell?
Masculine, crisp, intoxicating. Her heart began beating faster, her skin heating. She turned toward the source and found her head resting on a man's bare chest. Her man. She lazily smiled. He was asleep beside her in the dimmed room. Pale sunlight tried to steal in through a crack in the heavy curtains. Morning? Though she was tucked beneath the covers, he lay atop them, no doubt to keep control for her, because he was generous and protective, and athletic, sexy, fun, smart, sexy, cocky, and sexy. Realization struck her. She could look for lifetimes and never find anyone who fit her so well. She watched him sleeping. His firm lips were parted, stubble shadowing his rugged jaw and stubborn chin. Her gaze swept lower to his muscle-packed chest and the indentations of his stomach muscles. That line of hair descending from his navel to his low-slung jeans. On the outside, he was physical perfection. But inside, he'd been hurt and still bore the mental scars. Last night, he'd unconsciously covered his heart when thinking about his torture, confirming what Ronan had told her. McCreeve had realized that she knew. He'd accepted that. And after she'd kissed his chest, he'd clasped her in his arms so tightly she'd feared he would break her. Then, as if he'd been waiting for ages to sleep, he'd seemed to pass out. She'd missed the opportunity to tell him of her fears, to ask for his help in discovering what she was. Today, she decided. She'd talk to him today, because she did want this thing between them. For now, she reveled in his scent and heat. Yes, she'd realized she could get used to him. Waking up with him like this made her wonder again if she was exactly where she was meant to be, fated to this man. He'd told her that he'd lived for more than 300,000 days, yet yesterday had been his favorite of all of them? She decided that today would be his new personal best. No more cowardice. She would boldly explore this thing between them. When she nuzzled him, her lips skimming one of his flat nipples, he woke.
Chloe?
He inhaled, muscles tensing.
You needin' me, lass?
He asked in that rumbling brogue. Mm-hmm. She watched his penis begin to stiffen, caught within his straining jeans. With a groan, he adjusted himself, and his length distended once more, jutting into view. Her fingers curled as the urge to seize him arose. The more she stared, the more she wanted to kiss it. She licked her lips for it.
Yesterday, I thought about something.
Her hips had begun rocking against her will, literally.
What's that?
Her fingers walked down his torso to the bulge between his legs, caressing him there.
About kissing you.
His hoarse voice broke lower as he said,
What are you then?
Kissing you.
She rubbed her thumb across the head.
Here.
His hands flew to his pants, snatching them down his body so he could kick them off with a growl.
Well then, if you must.
His body was laid out like a bounty before her, broad shoulders, narrow hips. That glorious shaft continued to harden.
I've never done it before,
she said absently as she moved between his legs. He spread them, beckoning her, that big rod pulsing up and down.
I'm honored you're starting and ending with me, but do it so I can see that little body of yours.
She gave him a businesslike nod, as if he'd just told her to drop and give him 20. Yet once she'd gotten her shirt off, she hesitated at her bra.
Show me those bonny breasts, Chloe.
His home turf. She might have been shy in front of this man, but bearing herself to him felt so right. So she did, following with her panties. As his gaze raked over her, he spoke to her in Gaelic, words she knew were praise. Remembering himself, he added in English,
Ah, this will not last long for me.
How do I go about it?
What do you feel like doing?
Gaze locked on his mouth-watering erection, she murmured,
Lick it like a candy cane.
Gods have mercy,
he hissed, as moisture beaded the head. He took his shaft in hand, holding it for her like an offering.
Come have a taste.
This felt natural to her, like she was supposed to be here, with him, about to do that. So she leaned down and gave the head a long lick. As she gazed up to gauge his reaction, utter bliss, she tasted the delectable bite of his seed. An almost electrical sense of pleasure flooded through her. She moaned,
I think I'm going to love this.
One thought repeated itself.
Need more.
Another lap made his shaft pulse again, giving up more moisture, providing another hit of sensation. If hints of seed were making her feel like this, she couldn't imagine what his orgasm would do to her. She eagerly licked each new bead like she was racing a melting ice cream cone. A growl rumbled from his chest.
I need your eyes on mine.
For him to keep control, Gaze locked on his, she descended once more, circling the crown with her tongue. As she loved him with her tongue and lips, she recognized that something was clicking into place inside her, like some kind of womanly intuition was emerging. She kissed down the side of his length so he'd move his hand and let her drive.
"There, my lass," he rasped. "That's it."
This intuition guided her until she seemed to know exactly how to kiss him. She knew he needed her to take him deeper into the heat of her mouth. She knew he craved her hand tight around the base of his shaft, pumping him at the same time. She knew his balls would be aching for her to fondle them in her rolling fingers. Her ears twitched at his every groan or growl, at the way the timbre of his voice changed as he neared his peak. According to her new intuition, she needed to take him to the edge, and then maybe to let him linger there. Two nights ago, Will had mused,
"I think I'm bloody in love."
As Chloe took his cock between those plump, reddened lips, he thought,
"I know I am."
She moaned, and the scent of her arousal deepened. The sweetest, most alluring scent. She was enjoying this.
"Lucky man, Will."
He was hard as stone and randy as a lad, excited like one. He could tell Chloe was unpracticed with this. She'd hesitate before trying something new. Yet she was figuring it out handily. He relaxed back, stroking her hair as she explored him with her soft lips and seeking tongue. But then his beast began to stir with more aggression. It clawed inside him, and again, Will clawed back. This was Chloe giving her first blowjob. If he didn't get control, he could ruin this forever. She was so young, so eagerly doing this.
"Don't ruin it."
He released her, clamping the headboard. If he had to white-knuckle his way through it, he would. When she moaned and pulled on his length, he arched his back.
"This is mine to enjoy, beast."
He was harder than he'd ever been without it rising, sweating with pleasure. Yet an underlying uneasiness arose. He was worried about his beast, but also about how utterly perfect this felt. He'd woken to her nuzzling him after he'd slept with nary a nightmare. Will McCreeve simply didn't get mornings like this. Headcase took on a totally different meaning. When she began using her hand to pump him as she sucked him deep, he knew it was only a matter of time.
"You're sucking it so good, lass. Can you feel my seed rising up my cock?"
She squeezed her hand around the swollen ring, making him buck to be free of that semen. Just when he was about to come, was opening his mouth to tell her, she eased off, leaving him hanging at the edge. His claws dug deeper into the wood. The intensity was mind-numbing. Biting back a curse, he reminded himself that she was exploring him.
"Let her play."
When her hot little tongue tucked against his sensitive bollocks, he gave a shout.
"Chloe!"
She set in with her hand and mouth once more, until he was shuddering with the need to ejaculate, only to ease off again.
"Finish me!" he grated between breaths.
She licked the slit of his cock, then pursed her lips to blow on it.
"Ah, merciless woman!"
She worked him steadily until the pressure was unbearable, until he'd reached the point of no return.
"Have to warn her. You've got me in a bad way. I'm going to come a river."
She drew back, gazing up under those long lashes. "Okay." She played with his laden bollocks, grazing her nails behind them. He tried to speak. Couldn't. Tried again.
"Okay. How do you want it, then? Have care, or it'll come right up on your tongue.
She lovingly rubbed his shaft against her cheek. Such a sweet gesture amidst all her hot and dirty sucking. His mind was blown as thoroughly as his dick. I want it now. She returned to her kiss, taking him even deeper, pumping him faster. He drew his knees up beside her, thrusting hard to her lips. His claws dug into the headboard as his eyes rolled back in his head. 22. McCreeve's head thrashed, sweat slicking all his tightened muscles. His legs quaked around her ears as that bulge of seed in his shaft climbed all the way to the top. She'd rendered him this way. This was her doing. Pride and arousal warred inside her, along with a tenderness for this man that shocked her in its strength. He's mine. When his hips bucked too wildly, Chloe's nails sank into them, holding him still.
Fuck! Fuck! You want me to come harder than I ever have?
His accent was so thick.
Then do not stop, baby! Just do not... Ah!
His back bowed. Heat spurted into her mouth as he roared her name. She jerked at her first taste, as if lightning had struck. How could anything be this delicious? She felt as if she'd waited forever to taste him. When she swallowed his semen down, energy seemed to fill her, like currents racing through her veins. Panting around the head, nearly delirious, she drew even deeper.
My man, my man, mine.
Her scalp began to tingle. She saw tracers in her vision. Shivers danced over her damp skin. His heartbeat thundered like earthquakes in her sensitive ears. And when he was spent, he put his palm atop her head to stay her. But she was reluctant to end an experience like this, kept tonguing him. Though he'd shuddered violently with each of her lingering licks, he didn't stop her.
I think I'm in a dream.
He reached out his straightened arms, cupping her face.
Just came till my eyes rolled back in my head, and my mate is lapping at me like a kitten with cream.
He was grinning. Her heart twisted in her chest. He was the most handsome male she'd ever seen. A golden-eyed Scottish sex god. And he wanted her. Forever. She grinned back, excitement seizing her, because she suspected she would come to want him for just as long. Again they were smiling at each other like they'd pulled off some kind of coup. At that moment, she thought,
why would I ever let him go?
Will lay stupefied, legs sprawled around her body. Chloe had just sucked him till he'd seen stars, and now his beautiful mate was licking him clean. As he gazed down in awe, she continued to kiss and nuzzle until he was hardening again. Never had he been pleasured so profoundly. Which was something for a 900-year-old to recognize. He was proud of his control and completely enamored with his mate.
Looks like we found something Chloe genuinely enjoys.
I loved it.
And it loved you, Mokria.
What did you call me?
My heart. Now, for your turn.
Hmm?
She murmured against the tip, her breaths tickling him. When he drew her away, she cried,
"Hey, I wasn't finished."
"It's not going anywhere, love."
He turned her over on her back, spreading her legs, found her gaze locked on his mouth.
"Ah, Chloe, your heart speeds up when you look at my mouth, because you know what I'm about to do with it." "She's mine," he thought. "And I'll take her.
Just not completely.
Keep the beast in check. I'm going to make you come till you ride my tongue like a wanton. because that's what you are.
What does that mean?
She asked in a throaty voice that sent blood rushing to his shaft again.
It means you were made for me.
He started kissing down her neck, intending to blaze a trail all the way to her toes and back. Suddenly he stilled.
McCreeve, is this more of your teasing? I'm already about to die.
Another scent was now coursing through his consciousness. He gave himself an inward shake. Flashback? Memory of a nightmare? Chloe was rocking her hips against his torso when he scented something he'd hoped never to smell again.
Succubi. Close.
He inhaled deeply, the scent getting stronger and stronger.
Gods, they've gotten inside the wall.
Were they here for revenge? Or to steal Chloe for the Praevis? With a bitter curse, he dove for his pants, snatching them up over his cock.
Get dressed now!
He tossed his shirt to her.
What?
She pulled it over her head.
What's going on, McCreeve?
Dressed enough.
He grabbed her, securing her in his arms as he lunged for the bedroom door. He froze, all his muscles tensing. He slowly drew back to stare down at her eyes. They glowed green. Her hair was lengthening by the second. Claws tipped each of her fingers.
No. No. This is not happening.
Why are you looking at me like that?
This was no mortal in his arms. She was a succubus.
My mate. My mate is one of their ilk.
Bile rose in his throat. She'd just fed. Off of him. Though he'd vowed to the gods that he would rather die than feed one of those vile creatures again, he'd allowed this parasite to play him, seduce him, then harvest his seed.
Can I do this? Can I handle this?
The beast rose, roaring free. XXIII
McCreeve, you're scaring me!
Chloe cried. He was staring at her with unmistakable revulsion, his face twisted. When he began shaking her, she screamed,
"Let me go!"
His fists tightened around her upper arms with such force that she thought they'd break. His eyes turned ice blue and glowed. Fangs protruded from his mouth. Black claws lengthened from the tips of his fingers.
"Not you! Not you!"
He lifted her until her feet were dangling. Then drew her in close, those huge fangs inches from her lips. His feral gaze bored into hers. She turned her head away, whimpering with fear. With a roar, he flung her to the bed. She scrambled to the floor with startling speed. Confusion roiled as she backed into a corner. He swung around to pound his palms against the wood-paneled wall, then slashed those claws straight down. Splinters arced across the room. When he'd faced her once more, it wasn't him. Not human, her mind dimly recalled.
He's not human.
She was looking at his beast, a monster. In its white-blue gaze, she saw madness and animal cunning. She shook so hard her head bobbed. He slashed down the wall again, roaring at the ceiling.
I fucking give up! You bloody win!
Monroe charged into the room. He looked like McCreeve had just moments ago. Before and after.
Will, what set you off?
McCreeve growled.
Get her out of my sight! What's wrong with you?
Monroe gazed at Chloe, huddled in the corner, shaking.
Do you want her to die of fright?
He roared back,
"Yes!"
Monroe's eyes began glowing blue as well.
"That's my Drathur. I will not let you hurt her. She's a goddamn succubus, a seed feeder."
Chloe gasped.
"Succubus?"
She'd read about them. They derived nourishment from
sex.
McCreeve's twins scented the air, went motionless. He gazed at her with his brows drawn.
Dear gods!
Chloe was an immortal? A Lorian? She must have been triggered. Monroe quickly recovered, shoving a snarling McCreeve toward the door.
Outside!
Over his shoulder, Monroe told her,
If you value your life, do not leave this room!
The door slammed. She sat dazed. She didn't know what terrified her most, McCreeve's true self, or the revelation of hers. Succubus. By the way these two males had reacted, she figured succubi weren't exactly universally beloved. And her mother had been one? Somehow Chloe managed to rise, then stumble into the bathroom. Her reflection stunned her. Her face was softer, her hair now curling past her shoulders and still growing. Her irises were glowing a rich green. She'd read that all lore creatures had eyes that changed with emotion. Me, a lore creature. So when would they change back? She pinched up the hem of McCreeve's shirt, flashing the mirror, and found her hips were rounder, her breasts plumper. She dropped the hem, grasping the basin for support, noticing her new claws. They were pink like her nails, but had tapered tips and sharp edges. Freaking claws! And even more gut-wrenching than what she'd gained was what she'd lost. All her scars were gone. She supposed most girls would be delighted. Chloe was pissed. She'd earned those marks, every one of them, like merit badges. The one on her ankle had reminded her of the big Brazilian midfielder who'd two-footed Chloe right into the hospital, and how the next season that girl had paid. Now Chloe saw that her knees were smooth, the arthroscopic scar on the right one gone. That type of surgery was like a rite of passage. Even the scar from last night, the one that would have reminded her of all that she'd survived, was missing. Her badges gone. With a yell, she shot her fist out, breaking the mirror. She gaped down at her lacerated hand. Stupid. Stupid! She needed to be figuring out a way to escape this place before McCreeve returned to finish her off. The hatred in his eyes. How could he treat her like this after what they'd just shared? All those promises he'd made. All lies. She was furious that he'd been hiding that beast part of himself. Yes, he'd mentioned something in the glade, but she'd thought he was talking metaphorically. She hadn't known what she was, but he'd known fully what he was. There was a part of him so monstrous that she shook just to recall it. She was glad she had seen it so soon, before she'd fallen for him completely. The nymphs could have him. At the thought, a pang of loss battled her fury. That bewildering pang hurt worse than her new wound. She turned on the water, wincing as she ran her hand under it. As the blood washed away, she saw that her skin had already begun regenerating. "Because I am an immortal." She grabbed a small towel and knotted it around her hand. She'd known something was happening. Little by little, she'd been changing. "This shouldn't be such a shock, Chloe." Not like the shock that had hammered her with her first look at the real McCreeve. He was disgusted with her? Mutual. He'd been repulsive. Her beautiful Scott had masked a monster. Deciding that the creatures at the wall weren't as bad as the thing she'd just been in bed with, she picked out a shard from the mirror, coiling a washcloth around it. If she ran into that wolf monster again, such as on her way out, she'd gut it. She knew it was kill or be killed. And she was no victim. She hastily dressed, tucking the shard in her back pocket, concealing it with a long sweater. She didn't hear anyone outside the door, so she turned the knob, found it locked. Frustrated, she yanked on it. It broke off in her hand. She stared down at it in wonderment. Exactly how strong was she? Desperate to escape, she used her claws to jimmy open the door, then eased out onto the landing. Downstairs, in the great room, Ronan and Ben sat stiffly on the couch. Ronan flashed her a confused look. Ben shook his head slowly in clear warning.
"Chloe, you need to wait up there for Monroe. You canna be near Will."
She faded back into the room. "Looks like I'm going out the window."
"If you kill her, you canna ever get her back!"
After an unavoidable exchange of blows with Monroe, Will tore through the woods, his brother's parting words replaying in Will's disordered mind. Monroe seemed to think Will shouldn't murder the parasite who had wormed her way into their home and lives. She was lucky his beast had risen, otherwise she'd likely be dead. Will had been maddened with rage, yet his beast had accepted Chloe as his, had been tempering Will's actions. Even as Will had craved to kill her, his instinct had been commanding him,
"Protect. Provide."
He wondered if his instinct understood that providing for her meant jeopardizing his entire existence and risking her venom bond.
"A succubus just fed off my body."
Hatred seethed inside him, so thick he thought he'd choke on it. This couldn't be happening. He'd bloody liked Chloe, relishing her passion, her spirit. He'd thought his life was finally turning around.
"I thought I could refashion myself."
Now, impossible. Though he could normally run leagues without getting winded, he couldn't catch his breath. He stumbled, then leaned over, palms on his knees, sucking in air. Suffocating, the deep pulling him down. Chloe had fed off him, just like Ruel. Her claws had dug into his hips as she sucked him, fed, then teed him up for another round, for another feeding, because she would never be satisfied. Why did this keep happening to him? He was right back to Hungary. No. First, he would punish Webb. Now he would have no qualms about using Chloe. Realization struck. Webb had to have known what she was. He'd found out she was changing, and he'd washed his hands of her. Chloe had been looking for her father because the man had abandoned her. Of course. He stilled. She would have put that together herself by now. Was she devastated by the betrayal? Stricken? Had she cried? He roared, slashing through a tree. The need to protect her still assailed him. Her entire life had been upended. He pictured how she'd been in his room earlier, stunned, defenseless. Aye, she'd been defenseless. Just like Ruel. Will wondered if he would climb over his mother's corpse to protect this succubus as well. At the thought, he banged his head against a stalwart pine, cracking it, bloodying himself. Felt good. Necessary. Like that blow his father had delivered. So Will rammed his head over and over. He'd believed that he had a true connection with Chloe, that she was as aroused by him as he was by her. Instead, she'd been coldly serving him up. Ruel must be laughing in her grave.
"Ah!"
he bellowed, swinging his arm, ripping his flared claws through another tree. He watched it topple. Felled.
"Just like me."
XXIV. For the second time in 3 days, Monroe climbed the stairs to his brother's room with a heavy heart.
I'm going to lose him.
When he and Will had fought moments ago, Monroe had come up with many reasons why Will shouldn't kill Chloe. But anticipating Will's rebuttal of each, he'd voiced none of them. For instance, if Monroe had pointed out that Will could only have bairns with Chloe, Will would have comprehended that his offspring would be part incubus or succubus.
Heap yet another worry into the situation, then slow boil.
Monroe, too, had call to hate Chloe's kind. He'd lost his mother and father, and, on some dark days, he feared he'd lost his brother that night as well. But Monroe's instinct was telling him to protect Chloe, his Dreyfus, his sister. According to fate, according to all the Lycae believed, this female was Will's future. She was Monroe's family.
Make no decisions.
He would talk to her, discover more about her. He'd decided that one of the two brothers had to approach this rationally. Straightening his shoulders, he knocked on the door. She didn't answer. After a hesitation, he entered. She was sitting at the window staring out at the guard Monroe had posted below. Her looks were altered. Her hair was wavy and longer, shining in the morning light. Her curves were more accentuated. Her biological imperative was to feed off men. In a rush of changes, she'd become even more attractive to them. He frowned at the bloody towel wrapped around her hand.
"What happened?"
he asked, even as he deduced the answer.
"You dinna like your new reflection?"
She remained silent, watchful, probably fearing all Lycae after Will had revealed his beast. Even Monroe had been shocked by the sight. With his ice-blue irises glowing in the darkened room, Will had looked so much like their father had in those last hours.
"I'm not going to hurt you, Chloe. Do you understand me?"
"Why should I trust you? You're twin to that thing out there. Are you like that, too?"
"Well, almost exactly."
"You know what I mean. A monster."
"When I lose control over my emotions or my aggression, I would look like that."
She shuddered again.
"Is what he said true? Am I a succubus?"
"Aye. That's your scent. I dinna know why you've changed. You were human last night. Mayhap you reached a certain age and transitioned. I canna say."
She finally faced him.
"Am I immortal?"
"Can I see your hand?"
She unwrapped the towel. The lacerations were already healing. He exhaled with relief.
"It's regenerating. Quickly." "You're immortal. That's one less worry, at least."
He well knew what it was like to dread a human's fragility. She gazed up from under a lock of her now flowing hair.
"Why are you being nice to me? I saw the look on your face when you scented what I am."
"That well explain what our instinct is."
When she nodded, he said,
"His instinct tells him you're his mate. Mine is telling me you're my sister. That has not changed for me, no matter what you are."
"There's that phrase, no matter what you are."
"Has someone else said it?"
When she remained silent, he said,
"You can trust me. I will help you with this."
"How can I trust you? Obviously your kind hates mine."
"My family has had a bitter history with succubi. A tragic one."
"Like what?"
"That's not my story to tell," he said cautiously. "It's complicated. Just know that this is difficult for everyone involved."
"Difficult?"
She gave a harsh laugh.
"Did you almost just die at the hands of a monster? 'Cause that was difficult."
She stood.
"I've got to get Ghost from this place. I'd rather risk the snake men than see that beast again."
"Will's beast will not hurt you."
"No? You didn't see, but it was bellowing at me, shaking me."
"Unfortunately, That was all Will. His beast rose up to protect you.
When she appeared disbelieving, he said,
Can I level with you, Chloe? Those beings beyond the wall would rape you without cease, and you would pray you were still mortal so you could die from it. Here, no one will touch you.
Not even your brother?
Especially not him. Come take a walk with me, and I'll tell you what I know about your kind.
When he waved her toward the door, she hesitated.
Are you not curious?
With a grudging look, she complied. Downstairs, they passed the boys. Ronan, never shy, said,
You really a seed feeder?
Monroe scolded,
Language, Ronan!
The boy couldn't use that word, but McCreeve could call her that to her face?
Apparently I am.
What does that mean?
Beats the hell out of me, kid.
Monroe opened a French door for her, saying over his shoulder,
If Will returns, tell him we went out for a spell.
Outside, they walked in silence past a couple holding hands. When the pair turned to stare at Chloe, Monroe wondered if Ronan had already made the rounds, telling everyone that Will's mate was a succubus. Chloe gave a humorless laugh.
Yesterday they were all smiles and waves. Now I've got a scarlet S on my chest. That puts things into perspective, doesn't it? They'll accept the daughter of someone they hate like Webb, but not a succubus?
They do not know how to react. Like a do not naturally revile succubi. Not unless they've called to.
And your brother does? Come on. I can recognize utter hatred when I see it.
Did you know this was going to happen?
He asked, deflecting the subject. She narrowed her eyes, but allowed it.
I knew something was off inside me. My senses went haywire a few weeks ago.
That's common for transitioning halflings.
I told my dad about it. He said I needed to avoid a trigger, but didn't tell me what it was. He hinted that my mom was an immortal, but again, wouldn't tell me what kind.
A trigger? It must have been when you and Will had sex.
She whipped her head up.
We didn't. Not all the way. We just fooled around.
Differently than they had yesterday? Oh. Monroe could deduce what the trigger had been. She'd fed for the first time. Judging by Chloe's blushing, she'd deduced it as well.
Your father didna tell you not to be with men that way? I would think he'd do anything to keep you from turning.
He probably didn't think he had anything to worry about. I never had much interest in guys.
I see. It's not unheard of for a halfling's powers or appetites to be dormant until some catalyst. I've heard of a human halfling becoming a Valkyrie after a lightning strike.
I had no idea about any of that. Dad just plopped the Book of Lore in my lap and took off on a business trip. He told me we'd talk when he returned. He never did. His phone was disconnected.
Her voice wavered, which clearly aggravated her.
The next thing I know, I've got lore creatures in my house and I'm getting kidnapped.
I'm sorry, Chloe.
Monroe couldn't even imagine her confusion and fear. Again, that protectiveness surged within him.
Considering his hatred of immortals, your father probably believed his actions merciful.
She shrugged, feigning indifference.
So, spill about succubi. Give it to me straight, I'm a big girl.
He only had vague reports from others to draw from, and his brother's bitter recollections of Ruel.
You're a Cambion, a human and succubus halfling, which makes you part of the Ubis peoples. They hail from the Ubis realm, located on a hidden plain. Males are incubi, females are succubi. Not much is known about your kind. Some say males can fly, and females can turn invisible. All we know for certain is that your species draws nourishment from a partner's sexual release.
So when McCreeve called me a seed feeder, was that literal?
Monroe pulled at his collar, as uncomfortable with this as she clearly was. It was like explaining the birds and the bees to his brother's mate.
Some say there is a mystical energy with release, and your species can convert it to a life force.
Could this be any more awkward?
In that case, seed could be just an attractant of sorts, kind of the icing on the...
He trailed off.
Any metaphor I come up with at this point is just going to sound perverted.
Her cheeks flushed even brighter red.
I get it.
Others say, well, that the physical, result is what gets converted.
He coughed into his fist.
I do know it can be from intercourse or oral sex.
Will had once revealed that though Ruel could feed both ways, she'd never deigned to perform oral sex and had no interest in it herself.
How often do I have to do that? Months? Weeks?
Since you're young, you'll need it more often. I'd guess every day. Mayhap every other.
Her face paled.
That much? She cried. What happens if I don't?
For a Cambion, I do not rightly know. But for a succubus, the longer she goes, the more intense her desire for a male grows. By a certain point, she becomes mindless and animalistic with need.
Like the succubi who'd stalked Will, intent on raping him. Gods, mayhap this was far too much to ask of him.
Great. Anything else?
If you have intercourse with the same male more than 3 times, you can bind him to you, envenoming him.
Like venom out of fangs?
She was aghast.
No, no, it's a mystical bond. Once that tie is formed, he'll sicken without you.
He recalled Will rocking in his bed, covered in sweat.
I understand that it's like heroin withdrawal, but it never gets better.
She gave him an incredulous look.
Then why would anyone have sex with a succubus in the first place?
You're bonny, and you can emit chemicals that make males crazed. It's called strewing.
How do I emit them?
From what I understand, it comes from your very breath. It's scentless, so it's impossible to detect until the result is felt. Even an unwilling male would find it difficult to resist, if not impossible. Mated males are thought to be immune.
She stopped.
So, my new feeding MO is to roofie men, then get them hooked on me like heroin, so they'll keep coming back to the dealer? That's just messed up.
He couldn't disagree. He remained silent, giving her time to work through all the angles.
I'm going to be dependent on guys, really dependent on them, for the rest of my life?
She looked like she was about to be sick. More to herself, she said,
I was making a great living. I had my future planned out.
Another group passed them, casting her hesitant looks.
What are you gawking at? She snapped.
Monroe told her,
News spreads fast around here, I'm afraid.
Well, they need to keep their eyes in their heads. Before, she'd appeared woeful. With each second that she grew accustomed to all these surprises, her expression grew more mutinous.
Succubi were known to be fawning. They coaxed and beguiled men wherever they went.
Chloe looked like she was on the verge of head-butting unsuspecting bystanders. Monroe tilted his head, a flare of hope rising. This female acted like a wee bruiser. She'd made a living as a professional athlete, about the least likely career Monroe could imagine for a succubus. His own innate wariness toward her was fading. Just because she was a halfling succubus didn't mean she'd be anything like Ruel. There was a spark in Chloe's eyes, a toughness in her demeanor that was so radically different from Monroe's memories of that other creature, so different from any succubi he'd ever encountered over his long life. which meant Monroe still believed her a fitting match for Will.
"What about pregnancy?" she asked.
"Full succubi have a few cycles of fertility in a year. I do not know what will happen with you. There is a soothsayer we can contact to determine more, but it will likely take time."
"I'm going to wake up, and this will all be a bad dream."
She rubbed her temples.
"Is there any upside here?"
"You're immortal now. You could live forever."
"Live forever as an out-of-work, roofie-dispensing, drug-dealing skank? If that's my upside,
you'll be stronger. You'll regenerate from any wound. Other than decapitation, of course."
She perked up.
"Stronger?
Take a swing at me."
He patted his upper arm. She shrugged, then launched her good fist. He gritted his teeth, saying,
"Aye, stronger."
The pain was pleasant to him. It meant his newfound sister might survive in the lore. She frowned at her other hand.
"It's healing really fast."
He rubbed his nape.
"You and Will, your mourning together would help that along."
Her skin flushed again.
"What would happen if I never did that again? I'm a halfling. Maybe I could still exist on food. It used to stave off the worst of my symptoms."
"It might be possible."
She narrowed her gaze.
"If it's even remotely possible, I'll make it work."
Her hazel eyes flickered, then gleamed green with determination. "If I want something bad enough, it'll happen." Chloe was like the anti-Ruel. Suddenly, this didn't feel like a tragedy in the making. This might be workable. At that moment, they heard an agonized roar from the woods. Trees crashed down. Will, sorting out his issues. Chloe gazed up at McCreeve's twin.
"That's him, isn't it?"
As if she could ever forget that horrifying sound.
"Aye," Monroe said,
surprising her by telling the truth. She'd sensed he was well-meaning, and at least he wasn't violent, a huge improvement over the other one. She still couldn't believe the way this morning had gone to hell. Before that monster had showed, talking to her like it was from Aesop's fucking fables, she'd been happy, feeling desire and being desired. She'd liked McCreeve, had found him to be a sexy, exciting lover.
"I lost everything today."
Her dad had freaked at the possibility of her transition. How would he feel about his detritus daughter now? Olympics? Forever out of reach. She'd been paranoid about her drug tests in Florida. Now she could only imagine how wonky they would be. Not to mention her newfound strength and glowing eyes. She wanted to blame McCreeve for all this. He deserved nothing less. But now she realized how inevitable her change had been. Considering the nature of her dreams and her awareness of men, sooner or later she would have found a guy and been triggered, with or without McCreeve.
"Are there any succubi I can talk to about all this?"
To say it was a lot to take in. At least now she knew why she'd felt that sense of dread each time she'd even considered embarking on a flirtation. Because evidently her first boyfriend could have triggered her with his semen. Maybe her human half had tried to keep her from going down that path. Chloe was brave, physically at least, but she'd been too cowardly to explore her dread, to try and overcome it. It had been easier to make excuses. Too busy, too driven, too committed. So why hadn't she felt dread with McCreeve?
"Chloe, any succubi I've ever encountered have proven to be evil and malicious," Monroe said. "I would not recommend reaching out to them."
She frowned.
"So my mom was evil?"
If possible, Monroe looked even more uncomfortable about that question than he'd been about the sex talk.
"I canna say."
If Dad hated Lorians, why would he ever be with one?
"Maybe my dad hates immortals because he was hurt by my mom."
She recalled how he'd peered at that picture of Fiery. Had Chloe's mother forced him to love her?
It's possible, though it's more likely that he was already a member of the Order. From what we understand, your father has been at this for decades.
What if her mom had been his prisoner? As usual, her feelings toward her father were in turmoil. Last night, she'd been outraged that anyone would want to hurt people like McCreeve and Ronan and other lore kids. This morning, she'd realized why McCreeve was a danger to society. Had her mother been one as well?
Hunt for the upside, Chloe.
After lifelong blood tests, she no longer had to worry about the Big C. No, she could potentially live forever.
She grimaced.
She was an independent female, yet she was now expected to depend on males to survive, not just for one lifetime, but for eternity. Another thought struck her. Those womanly instincts she'd experienced earlier. They were succubus instincts, instructing her how to land the best score.
Ugh!
The idea of living forever like that appealed to her not at all.
"We should get you back," Monroe said. "My brother will not like that you're gone."
"He'll be angry? Wonder what that'll be like."
"Again, he will not harm you."
Monroe raked his fingers through his dark hair, reminding her of how handsome the twins were, and what lurked beneath.
"What makes you so certain?"
"He would have already. I have not seen him so out of control in memory. I think it's much worse because of the timing, coming on the heels of his torture in an Order prison. He's not been right since he returned."
"He was vivisected, right?"
She recalled last night when McCreeve's shaking hand had covered his heart. As she'd kissed his chest, she'd vowed to herself that she'd never let anyone hurt him again. How much had changed so quickly?
"He was tortured by my dad's people?"
Golden eyes flickering, Monroe admitted,
"One doctor showed him his beating heart."
She pressed the back of her hand over her mouth. Even after everything, she felt sympathy for McCreeve. God, she'd never been so confused in her life. After seeing McCreeve's beast, she understood why the Order feared Lyke. But then she gazed up at Monroe, serious, grave Monroe, and couldn't imagine anyone harming him.
"So your brother could get past that to be with me, but my transition makes him want to kill me? You need to tell me why that is."
Monroe's expression was stark.
"Chloe,
it's complicated. Got it."
She sighed, tempering her tone. None of this was Monroe's fault. He was just trying to be helpful.
"Look, I can't stay here. There has to be a way for me to get past those creatures at the wall."
"I'm sorry, that's not possible right now."
"Okay, I might be stuck in this compound, but that doesn't mean I need to be staying at his house. I am not living with him."
"No one else would take you in?"
"Because I'm a succubus?"
"Because you're Will's mate? His instinct will demand he keep you close, even if he hates it at the time."
She'd been as good as abducted again, from the witch's clutches to the Lyke's. As her situation sank in, Chloe repeated to herself,
"Rub some dirt on it. Rub some dirt on it."
But this was so far beyond the realm of, "I'm just happy to be here." Some things she knew for certain. She couldn't change what she was, so to be punished for it by that werewolf wasn't happening. She'd be planning to escape as soon as possible. In the meantime, she didn't have to live by their rules at Ye Old Compound. She refused to be afraid of McCreeve. All her life she'd faced bigger opponents. When they'd attacked, barreling down upon her on a field, she'd trained herself to stand her ground. Once she'd mastered that, she'd trained herself to strike back. She'd marched into myriad stadiums all over the world, turning herself into a fucking gladiator. Even knowing what horror roiled inside McCreeve, Chloe would not falter. And finally, she'd starve to death before she ever fed off him again.
Monroe, you've been decent to me, so I'm going to level with you. I'm not planning to brave that wall by myself.
Yet.
And I understand that my lodging choices are limited. But I also don't plan on putting up with any more wolven bullshit from your brother. He pulls any stunts like this morning, and